Jess is going to be there. And we are rolling. She went to get our very special guests. And I guess, well,
if I can jump in.
It's all going to reveal itself, I guess.
You're not going to believe it. Now, obviously, you may have looked at the title. Or maybe what are you going to put in the title? A couple of dudes?
Fences mended? Bygones be bygones.
I guess we'll see once it's done.
Oh, that's right. The fight continues.
Know.
Even could, more heated.
It could be.
Fuck that guy.
I don't think it's going to be that way.
Probably not, yeah.
You'll be civil. You actually have a lot in common.
Don't say that.
You kind of do.
Like what?
No, I'm killing time with him.
Like
here.
What?
I'm not sitting in. No, I'm not sitting in.
Go ahead and text him.
Okay. I'm supposed to go ahead and text him.
I'll let you edit here.
Because you and I should start. You want to tell everybody what we're doing?
No, we were just talking
about
that. This is perfect.
Okay.
Can they get back here? Or did I have his fob disconnected?
Who?
I'll...
Did I have his fob disconnected?
I can just... How's she going to get through here?
Who? No, she... Where did she go?
She took off.
Son of a... Well, now I texted him. Now what do I do? Well, he's on the way now. This runs deep with
yeah.
me.
Well, you know what?
It's been...
Does it matter how deep you are?
I think it
you
does.
You can always heal.
I think the deeper...
Are you going to quote a song here?
The deeper...
The cut?
The first cut is the deepest. Yes. Baby, I know. I think Cat Stevens told us that. Thank you, Jimmy Pardo. I, honest to God, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, well, our backup wasn't running? Is
no,
that right?
It wasn't running.
Oh, wow. Who's on the ball over here, huh?
Hey, I don't even work for this thing.
Yet.
No, I started this thing. Do you know how hard I worked?
You're a founder.
You know how many YouTube videos I watched?
You're
to get this thing going?
A founder.
4 years ago. You're approaching 4 years.
May, June, a couple months.
End of July, I think, was your first one. The one where you and I just sat here like this. Just
not
you and I.
Not unlike this, having an awkward
and
conversation.
I had the list how to start a podcast or something really.
Here's what you should talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Can you do this? I don't know. Can we?
And 174 episodes later, here we are.
Unreal.
Well, this is 174, so 173 episodes mm-hmm. later. Did she go all the way back there?
She got a cup or something.
Oh, okay.
All did right. you run to the back?
No, I thought you texted
them. I texted them. They're on their way. Did you get me ice?
No, there's no ice. Tell them to bring ice on their way.
I'll go get ice for you.
Okay. Oh, you're going to go get ice? Yeah, okay. All right. Turn your mic off. Okay. Turn your mic on.
Turn my mic's on.
Okay. Fill them up.
Yeah, fill them up with ice.
Fill them up with ice.
Because you can use your cup that I got you, right? I got it right here.
I might just drink straight vodka today.
Mm. Well, you know my favorite drink. I don't know if it's a drink, but if
more?
It is, it's
is
about
it
to be the it's about to be the Jesse Prosser, and that is that's black iced coffee with Jameson in it.
You know what? Maren told me one time he came to visit. It might have been
I'm
around.
I'm so wired right now. I had been off the coffee.
It might have been around the time that he was on our podcast, episode 32. I don't have to look that one up. And
did you look up when? So we talked about who's coming.
We haven't said who it is yet. We have kind of, and we haven't said that he and I have been.
No, it's two people. One who's been on the podcast before,
and he remains a good friend. The other one, he and
you
I.
You know
have been
what? I think that him being.
He and I have been estranged for a couple of years.
Yeah, but the guy that you're still friends with, he is still friends. I think he got a lot of leeway because he's such a close family friend of ours, my family.
That's right.
He was at the hospital the day I was born.
He was at the hospital the day you were born.
He was. That's true.
Uh-oh, that's no good. I got to go.
You want to pause?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead. Talk to him. I'm not speaking to anybody.
I know. This is what we brought you.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So now we're going to. So we were just talking about. We haven't said who's the guest is yet. We've been teasing it. So nobody knows that it's you guys yet.
It
Because you didn't want them to leave.
No, because I wanted to have a choice up to the very last moment.
To decide whether to cancel this whole thing.
Fuck this machine. I'm out of here.
So obviously,
we'll do it with Jess. We'll just do it with Jess.
See how the fuck he is?
You guys hear who it is?
Now, wait a minute. By the way, I wanted to point out that it was on this date, as we record this 22 years ago, that Nolan Ryan kicked the shit out of Robin Ventura.
Isn't that great?
I just wanted to throw that out there. Just by accident, it happens to be the same day.
He's a White Sox fan. Do you know that?
I am a White Sox fan.
Well, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, so we used to drive, you know, it was a 15-minute ride to Comiskey.
I wanted a baseball cap, and it was the first baseball cap my dad bought me.
Really?
I have no other ties to the White Sox.
Is it the old 80s White Sox cap?
Yes, that
great classic logo?
Yes, yes.
I had one of those for about 2 years until it went yellow.
And
then I had to get a new one.
Mm. Is he just taking over the podcast?
No, he said he would.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Talking about his yellow ball cap that Cubs fans have been pissing on for years and making it turn yellow.
Hand me a cup of ice there. I need a drink before I...
You guys are going to actually...
Wait a minute. What is that?
That's what's great about this podcast is that when I had my first experience, someone's counting the cuss words.
No.
They were drinking.
Oh, this is... So it's a Friday
record
this. No. It's a podcast day.
It's a podcast day. We usually drink on the podcast.
You guys drink every podcast?
Almost.
I think that's the key.
Well, Jessica...
It keeps the tears away.
Jessica interned with us when Gonzo was here on the Big Dumb Show, and we drank every morning
on the
podcast.
We drink every morning. Yeah, that's how I got my start.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start the show. Okay, here we go. All right. Well, we're back. Hi, thank you. It's the Off the Air Podcast. Give me a kiss. I got a castle in the Paris, got a crib in the city. I said I'd get you something nice, something pretty, and I did. Hillbilly? And you liked it like I'll answer that. It's the Off the Air Podcast, a very special episode. I'm your host, Chick. This is your other host, Jess.
Hello. This is my favorite drink, black coffee, iced black coffee with Jameson.
I was going to tell you, Maren told me.
I call this the suburban mom lifesaver. This will save your life.
Maren turned me on to 4 shots of espresso over ice. That's all you drink.
Oh, my God.
And your brain's...
Yeah, you can hear. For about 2 hours. Yeah, you can hear the thoughts.
Let's see. Jason and I were talking before you got here. Jess, I'll talk to you.
Uh-huh.
Welcome, Don.
Hello.
Don Stucks here.
Thanks for having me back. Now, this is my second appearance. I love it.
I know. You're a two-timer. Welcome to the two-timer club.
Oh, all right. I am friend of the show.
Two-timer.
I'm friend of the show. I am a two-timer. That's
for
sure.
Right.
I'm currently supporting whoever is leading in the polls. That's how I roll.
That's good. That's a good angle.
Yeah, that's
I like
right,
that.
Man.
We were trying to decide what this episode should be called, Let Bygones Be Bygones, or...
Making Amends.
Or I'm Still Mad at That Asshole. I can't...
Did I not bring that possibility up just a few moments ago?
You did.
This is going to be an attack zone when you get in here.
But Jason said, well, let's see how the episode goes.
And then we'll name it.
Before we'll name it.
So what happened was...
Gunner is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
From the Bob and Tom Show, he runs the board when we're out of town and stuff.
That's right. I'm a board op.
I'm surprised you're not getting the drinks right now.
I would be more than happy to have you grab a drink.
I was at
the liquor store and I was going to get you a beer, but I forgot.
I would have loved a Tall Boy or a Foster's Oil Can would have been good, but I'm going to pass on the Jameson.
You're not going to try Chick's Vodka?
You've got to try Chick's Vodka.
I take that as a personal.
See? Here we go.
Why do you do this? You come in here. He's got an olive branch out.
Yes,
that's a $60 bottle.
You gonna make me drink it right out of the bottle?
Throw her back.
Let me see.
Gunner and I have a couple of shows to do later, and this will loosen him up.
This is much like our Native American forefathers, who Gunner once pointed out, hey, they had home field. It's their fault.
You have a good memory.
This is like smoking a
there
peace pipe.
There he goes. Let me try that. I'm going to smell it anyway.
Hey, that's actually smooth.
Thank you very much, Dave. I think so. Did you get a picture of him swigging it?
No, we'll get another one.
Have another drink, little buddy.
That's incredibly smooth.
See?
You drink it like that when you're talking to your dogs at 2:30 in the morning. And another thing.
I'll tell you what.
Here's what she doesn't realize.
All right, now I feel better.
If you want to make this White Sox fan feel at home, Chick, we'd need to put this in a brown paper bag. Ooh. And he'll just drink it down then.
We have a brown paper bag from the Jamesons. So, I guess...
Are we going to get it out? We're going to get it out.
I think you know what's happened, and I think you know that I'm...
Who's mediating this conversation?
So that's where I was going to start. So what happened was Don and I live.
You know I'm Buddhist now. You know that.
No, you're Buddhist when you feel like it.
No.
That's the great way to be religious.
Hang on a second. You're fucking Buddhist.
You're Buddhist when you're drunk, asshole.
I better drink a little more. Did you boy, chump, asshole. What the hell?
I did call you a
problem?
Chump yesterday off the air.
Off the air.
No, what happened was, so Don and I have all kinds of great ideas. That really have nothing to do with me. We just text ideas.
Don gets a pass for me from life for introducing me to the lovely.
Yeah, Don is the reason I'm anywhere in this building.
All the bad stuff that I've done has been washed away. That's exactly just like Jesus on the cross. You're because exactly I brought Jessica Hooker into the building, and now I can do anything I want for life. I can get killed today, and I still get into heaven.
Right there on the bottom of the tombstone.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, see now.
But he was at the hospital when Jess was born.
That's right.
Yes. Going
that's
way back.
True. 34 years ago.
You held her? Did you hold her?
I did
as
not.
A baby?
I tried to breastfeed her, but I did not hold her.
No, you watched my mom breastfeed me.
I did do that. I did see that.
Holy moly, is that
how
right?
old were you? So, in 1981.
34 years ago.
How old are you?
Do 24? The math. I'm 53 23? This summer. 52
oh, okay.
Right now, yeah. I'm getting up there. Yeah, I have cataract surgery coming up. So
no
it's
way.
Like, yeah, so I'm getting a cane. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I know. Isn't that great? Yeah. Getting a cane. They're good. I have a CPAP machine, hearing aids, new eyes. I'm like Darth Vader.
You did shave your beard, though. I barely recognized you.
Yeah, it's weird. I get around a little bit better
and
at the liquor store now.
And you're newly engaged.
I am, yeah.
They, yay!
Yeah, way to go.
Congratulations.
Well, she's really nice.
And best wishes to Natalie.
Natalia. Yeah, everybody calls her Natalie. Okay. It's great. We use my name when we're booking finer hotels because when you call up, it's Natalia Hernandez. Everything. Well, we're booked. The hotel is full.
No.
It happens a lot.
That really happens?
Seriously?
Wow.
It happens a lot.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, she is Mexican.
So
okay,
it's Hispanic. And she's
stop. So, God, you're such an ass.
So we use a nice.
I'm a Buddhist.
Yeah. That's right. I'm German and Italian. And when you put these two together, it's always a problem, so they don't mess with me when we get to book the room.
Well, when I book a hotel, asked if it's hourly. Yeah.
Jessica.
Right on.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Some friends of mine feel that is a stage name or an on-air name. I
absolutely
said, no, that's her name.
No, that's real.
Have you ever
that's
done a an hourly hotel, either of you? Have you ever rented one?
I've stayed in one hourly. I didn't rent. I think I paid for the night. I wasn't there for the night.
There was a girl that had left the Navy that I met one summer when I was home from Chicago.
Did
so,
you say leave left the Navy?
She had left the Navy.
Okay.
So
dishonorable discharge.
Like
I don't know what it was. No, oh, not okay. AWOL. She'd done her 2 years, so she got out of the Navy,
back.
And
okay.
We started dating in the south suburbs of Chicago. So one day she said, "Let's go get a hotel," and we went to this little spot in some unincorporated area between like Harvey and Lansing, Illinois. I can't remember the name of the hotel, but at 4 hours,
was she Asian?
At 4 hours, a guy knocked on the door. 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yep.
15 minutes, and they gave you the 15-minute warning.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how they did it back in ancient Rome. Hour one, hour two,
time.
Yeah.
Wow.
A blind guy would walk down the hallway because he didn't want everybody looking in. They didn't really have doors, and they tell you what hour it was, and you had an hour
nothing
ago.
Like the hourly hotel.
Yeah.
Such
a
pleasure.
I feel like that place up here in Shadeland is, right? The one with
by the Lowe's?
Yeah. That has to be.
It has that feel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has to be.
What was her rank in the Navy, don't know?
I don't, you know, I think low, whatever the lowest was, and she'd left the
Navy. You know, a bunch of guys on a submarine, when you're underway, it's not gay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Is that the same?
You know.
Once you're underway, it's not gay.
Mm.
Well, it's five guys in a submarine, a booth, you know.
Like jailhouse gay.
Yeah, you get a pass because you're in jail.
Yeah, because there's nothing to stick it in.
Mm-hmm.
You do what you have to do, right?
Got to get by.
What's the name of the joint? The tavern up there.
I don't know what is that
Spirit,
called. I was
Free
just
Free Spirit Lounge.
Free Spirit Lounge, is that what it is?
Yes,
it moved
right up here, right?
Oh, is it out? Yeah. Is it done?
It moved to the backside of Castleton. It's back on the backside.
No kidding.
Yeah, huh. Yeah.
Wasn't that an hourly hotel it was attached to?
That's what we were talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The hourly hotel.
I didn't know you could rent it by the hour.
Welcome to the podcast. Oh, no, sorry. I'm Chick. This is Jess. Gunnar and I are getting back together. Yeah, I don't know if you heard about that.
So that's why we're here. Yeah,
no, I knew that because the offer was for me to come in by myself at another time. And I said, right. No, God, I want to see this. I want to see this because I know this is going to be an attack zone. This isn't forgiving.
No, it is not an attack zone.
I don't think it is. I think there's been a lot of miscommunication.
Thank you.
No, there's been a lot of, I know on my part, there's been a lot of, I heard he said things, and I heard from this person, and I heard from that person.
As much as I love you, you are a giant woman when it comes to gossip.
When my feelings are hurt, they're hurt. But now, I see, I understand, and that, I think, was what my problem was, is that I thought Dave and I were good for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And
then he's attacking you and all this.
and we were good.
But here's the thing. I think, and I have some baggage because I went to San Diego in 95 and mm-hmm. he filled in for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I came back and I think.
And you kind of felt like people liked him.
And I think, I thought people liked him. And not only that, but I thought he assumed that I wasn't coming back. And I felt bad.
I think everybody assumed you weren't coming back.
When you leave.
Well, up here. Well, hang on just a second. Stuck, you're out.
I'm trying to help.
Turn the microphone off.
I felt bad. I was going to San Diego to do a new morning show. I'd mm-hmm. had a nervous breakdown or whatever the fuck it was, and I wasn't coming back. And Dave, here you go. So then I felt bad about that, but then I heard that, you know, he, and in a joking way, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
had said that as soon as Chick dies, I'm going to take over the sports desk on the Bob and Tom Show.
Well, that part is true.
Well, at least he admits it.
Well, I'm not going to deny it.
But he said it a lot.
But that was, and that is also true. But I said it with no vitriol.
No,
I said it.
Not only that, but there was no anger or intent. Or
I said it as a joke, and I did say it repeatedly. But that came after you
repeatedly
returned.
For years.
After your
for years.
That was after your heart surgery. Honestly, when you came back from KGB, because mm-hmm. you and I never talked about it. After working 6 months with Tom every day, there was an element of relief.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
I was a very young man because I was in my late 20s. And I was still drinking.
Yeah.
I was still drinking very heavily.
Still and drunk when you got here in the morning.
Isn't there
a story about that?
About drinking and being on the air?
No, not drinking and being on the air. Maybe being at a Bob and Tom concert and you coming home.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that was a story.
I wasn't going to mention that, but he did his time, and he's...
I didn't know. No, I don't know the story. Oh, shit. Should I not have brought that up?
No, it's all in the past.
Okay,
but,
okay.
Yeah, this is what I remember. We did the show. You were still in San Diego. We did a show at Pierre's in Fort Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
And we all had hotel rooms up there. I never made it to mine. I thought it'd be better to drive home, which is a bad idea. But in my defense, I said to Bob when we were on stage, I said, don't let me out of your sight, is what I had said.
So it's Bob's fault.
He let me out of his sight, and I ended up in my car. But that's a whole nother story. When you came back from KGB, I had no ill will at all because the seat always felt like it was yours, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I felt you were far more accomplished at that point in
our careers. I couldn't agree more with that.
you were far more accomplished.
Thank you, Don.
And you deserved the seat back. I had no argument with it. I would have loved to have stayed on as a part, but there was no ill will at that point.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. And then when you had the heart surgery, I had made a joke on the air one day.
Yeah, I know.
I was filling in. I was filling in after your heart surgery, and this was like 2 years after your heart surgery. And
yeah, I know.
Tom was rattling me about something, and I said, listen, man, I was a shaky surgeon's hand away from having a great gig in syndicated morning radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's a funny line. You can't deny that.
Hang on just a second. Thanks, hon.
I'm glad you lived.
Sure, we're all glad I'm alive. Yeah. Sure. I mean, what time is it? But here I am.
And so, you know, that, and then Tom constantly repeating, Gunner's presence represents Chick's absence, and Chick's absence represents.
Is that what he said?
He said that
a million times.
Yeah. No, it's Tom's fault.
So far I blame Bob for my DUI,
Bob.
And I blame Tom for this.
That's an underlying pathological problem when everything that goes wrong in your life is somebody else's fault.
all those comments over the years, the hello there, everybody, I'm Gunner. I'm the guy who's waiting for Chick McGee to die.
See and how comical it is now that this, you hear him say
sure.
it?
Sure.
I would welcome myself to a crowd like that. Half the room would boo. Half the room would cheer.
Yeah.
You know, because you know how it is, Chick.
Sure,
half the people on Twitter love us. Half the people on Twitter wish we would go away and mm-hmm. never do radio ever again.
And if sure. you've got 50% of the audience, that's good.
Dude, you
got to take it.
You can get elected a president with those kind of numbers.
I can get nominated with
I'm
that.
I'm telling you.
I can get nominated with that.
You made a good point earlier. I always thought the joke was funny. Sorry, Chick. I kind of get it.
I think it's funny, too.
Well,
motherfuckers.
I'm sorry. When you do this kind of work, you kind of...
Gosh, I love podcasts.
You have a bullseye on your back.
Uh-huh.
But I Gunner did a really good job while you mm-hmm. were gone. He was hilarious, and he was a part of the show. But mm-hmm. nobody on this planet, and Tom would agree, no, and I'm not buttering you up because it's your show. No one will disagree. There's nobody like Chick McGee. There's no replacing Chick McGee. Chick mm-hmm. McGee, in my opinion, launched the Bob and Tom show into the stratosphere. Haji did too. But but Chick
thank
McGee
you,
helped.
Don.
I'm serious.
And
I'm not...
Don knows what I'm. I think he knows what I'm going to tell him is that one of the nicest compliments anyone's ever paid me is that one of the reasons I went to San Diego, of course, is because I worked with Bob and Tom in the morning from 6 to 9. And then I went and had breakfast, and I came back and worked 10 to 2. And then I went and had lunch, and then I came back and worked with Dog from 3 to 5.
It was mm-hmm. brutal.
Live here 12 hours.
The Chris Sweet Way.
I was making $45,000 every single year.
Whoa. God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so, my God.
No, but Don, we had these, and my mom said kind of the same thing. She didn't think I had amounted to anything really at all until I got my face on a plastic cup at Village Pantry.
Right.
Love that cup.
Yeah. It's a cartoon.
I bought one of those every day.
And I talked about it on the air one day, and I was messing around with it and playing with it. And Don said, boy, I could really, after he walked in, I said, boy, that was a great promo. I could really picture the cup, and I want to go buy one right now. And that was very nice of you to say that.
I stole that because they were doing some cups with me and Gonzo. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can't do it in here. But you drop the cup and make some noise with it. And a bunch of stuff I stole from you. I appreciate it.
You and Mark Patrick.
Yeah, Mark Patrick. Exactly,
well, you are.
For sure.
You know, when Chick was gone, I made the cup. I've got a couple of those at
you
home.
Did?
Oh, you did make the cup.
I made the cup.
I forgot. I was mad about you making the cup. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
See, look,
guy.
We're burying all kinds of things.
Oh,
you just keep going, babe.
Oh,
it's good. Yeah. But you know what Don said about you, Chick? I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been, for years, the young guys that come through here, you'll often hear say, you know, I would love to grow up and do what Chick does, or I would love to grow up and be Chick McGee.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of respect. Now, your interpersonal skills have made it hard for people to explain to you how mm-hmm. they feel about you.
Thank you, Dave. And I would like to say that, yes, I think this has been a long journey for me. And Henry Winkler was interviewed by one of my podcast heroes. He's a hero, and Nerdist, Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, Chris
Hardwick. Love it.
Talking to him, and Henry Winkler said, I was like, because he was a real asshole when he was Fonzie. He wouldn't talk about it. He didn't want to say it.
Really?
Now he's just the nicest guy on the face of the earth. And he goes, you know what it was like? It was like I was a muffin. And you know how when you pull the muffins out of the oven and you take the toothpick and you stick them in the muffin, it's not done yet. So you put the muffin back in. And then you pull it out again, it's not done yet. You put him in. He goes, I was like that muffin. It took me a really long time to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me. Mm-hmm. I for lack of any ability to talk with anyone about differences in an adult manner, I chose silence, mumbling to myself, screaming in my car. Yeah. Things like that.
Well, when Don invited me to be an intern on X103's Big Dumb Show.
I love this story.
2002. Chick does love this story. We, I was in what they called the Jock Lounge at the time. There were the computers and everything, and I was on the phone, and you know,
you
working for the
about...
Big Dumb Show. Someone called
Thanks.
And wanted to tell me their their anal sex story. And I was like, yep, so I have to act interested. You know, I'm doing this for college credit. Of course. Yeah, yes, let's talk about butt sex.
You have to act interested.
I have to. So
oh my God, he's here. He can hear this story.
Yeah, so I'm talking on the phone, and then chick's standing in the jock lounge doorway, and he smiles, and he was like, oh, yeah, you're talking about that, yeah, and, you know, da da da. So we talk, we exchange whatever, just pleasantries. Right, and so...
Common interest, like
right.
anal sex.
Like anal sex, yeah. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So, yeah.
Not right then.
We'll get to that later.
So Don walks out, and then we walk back into the studio, and Don grabs me, both shoulders, grabs me, and he goes, was chick just talking to you? And I said, yeah. He was like, he doesn't talk to anyone.
He won't talk to me. Yeah.
And he was like, I'm literally, I'm so happy for you. Yeah. Like, yeah, just was like, good job. Like you've arrived. Like,
I've been here 12 years. He won't speak.
Well,
to
see,
me.
Don tells me that story. You know, yeah. While we've had this little saga for the last year,
right.
Since we put out the podcast that was titled "Gunner's Chick McGee Problem."
Right.
You know how podcasts work. If
yes.
you have that title,
sure.
People are going to listen.
Sure. Yeah.
And what we really did was just praise him during the podcast.
Yes, said,
our problem is I filled in for him. Mm-hmm. We never really talked about it. I think there's some butting of heads and that kind of thing. But Don has always said to me, he goes, you know, for like the first 5-7 years that I worked in the morning, I'd say hi to Chick every day in the hall. Hey, Chick.
Hi, Chick.
And he would look at the floor and walk right by me.
Well, that's the story. That's
such
what I.
A
so
fucking
when,
asshole.
So when I came into this situation, and now. Chick is kind of, whenever I'm around, we're constantly in therapy. He doesn't really know it, so don't say anything, but we're just constantly working through.
You can't.
So,
what was that?
Nothing, that's okay. But I told him he has the ability to either bring down an entire room or lift it up to its highest.
That's his ability.
So you got to decide which one you're going to do. And right now, he's doing it. He's lifting it up way more than he used to bring it down. Because there's time. That's progress.
Yeah.
That's progress. That's what I say. I think we're doing well.
This is how the movie ends. That's right.
Yeah. So
you've got a villain. You got a hero. You got an underdog.
So,
you got.
When I actually ended up in the Bob and Tom office, literally, you'd come in at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and the temperature was gauged on Chick's mood.
That's not true.
That's 100%
true. I remember
true.
A little
that
bit.
That can't be.
That's 100% true.
And how would the mood affect the temperature?
Well,
adversely.
It could be very cold, or
it could be very cold. And so you know what people do? They go, "Hey, Jess." You go in there.
Go talk to him.
Yeah. And so I've actually, someone referred to me the other day as the most powerful woman in radio.
Nice.
And I was like, you know what? You know what, motherfucker? I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Chick's ability to
it
bring.
It is amazing what a stray text will do at, sure. I don't know, 5:30, 6 a.m.
That's a famous quote from Chick McGee and words to live by that I remember to this day. You can say whatever you want. You can think whatever you want, you can do whatever you want, but never put it in writing.
Yeah.
Never.
Don't write it down. Don't let it get recorded.
Oh, God,
Chick's ability to do what he does to the room has been talked about for years, and I remember a famous story. Tom was talking about it. Our old boss, Chris Wheat, who's we all know and love from years ago, kind of ran the whole radio cluster here. There was some discussion of trying to get Chick onto some medication throughout some people here in the inner circle. And Chris says, hey, don't fuck around with anything. Just let him do what he's doing. Don't get him any medicine. Don't get him any doctors. Don't get him any therapy. If he's messed up, let him be messed up at home. While he's on the air, he's great.
That's right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Man, he's great for 4 hours, and he's a madman the other 20. No,
don't. If you're going to spend the money on a doctor, just get a guy to follow him around and don't let him get in trouble.
What the fuck did he just say?
See what I did there.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
No, medication could be good. I take, you don't know this, I take an antidepressant. I'll bring it out here.
What?
Really?
Now, Don is familiar with this. My friend Joel died of melanoma at the age of 35.
Whoa.
I found myself about 6 months after that because I stood up in his wedding, and this is one of my fraternity brothers, one of my best friends.
Yeah.
I stood up in his wedding, and 30 days later, I was a pallbearer in his funeral.
Holy shit, so Gunner.
I found myself in a doctor's office about 6 months after he died, sweating, my heart racing, and I was like, I'm really not handling this death of my friend thing very well. And the doc said, let's lay some Lexapro on you, brother. And yeah. I've been on Lexapro ever since.
You got any more?
No, I do at home. I got a huge bottle of it.
And you got Thorazine?
And you benefit from it. Do you feel like you do?
Yeah. It has helped.
Yeah.
Tell him you need some Klonopin, too. I could use it.
Hey, I got some of those.
Really?
You guys and your Klonopin.
I don't take it.
Hey, no.
I'm just trying to be like.
What is Klonopin?
Klonopin, here. So here's the funny thing.
Klonopin.
So Klonopin and our.
Welcome to Drug Talk.
Welcome to the Prosser circle.
Real quick, story about his buddy Joel. Gunner's not kidding about how it affected him because I was in the room when it happened. He cried about it
in front of
Tom. And there's no crying in front of Tom.
Oh,
you can't cry in front of Tom.
Have you ever seen Tom more uncomfortable?
He
did okay?
He was uncomfortable, but he did okay.
He took a call and he says, I'll be right back. And then he left the room and that was he was
back. So how long ago was that? Because I know this sounds silly. I really
10 years ago.
I know in my brain, you're still in your mid-30s.
I have a theory that everybody's the age they were when you met them.
So in my brain, that's how I feel. I feel like Gunner's still in his mid-30s,
yeah.
And Gunner would have been in his mid-30s when I came into this building years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Telling anal jokes in front of interns and things like that you get fired for now.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was 10 years ago.
Different time.
Yeah, that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
But, and we all know that, Chick, you've had your battle with medications.
He's tried them all.
And Lexapro, certainly, I got to tell you, was my favorite. But I'm not on any antidepressants now at all.
Oh.
I haven't been for...
He's on Chick's Good Time Vodka.
Remember, when you don't give a shit what kind of vodka you're drinking, try Chick's Vodka.
I will endorse. It was incredibly smooth.
It was very smooth.
It was very smooth.
I put that shit on everything.
Morty's Comedy Club. I put that shit on everything.
That's good.
Even waffles.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I haven't been on an antidepressant for... Oh, gosh. Well, if I didn't get on one about 4 years ago, I was never going to.
What's the big one that everybody tries?
There's Prozac.
Prozac. Yeah, I was on Prozac for 10 days, and it ruined my life.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, I'm just going
to
be messed up.
I am incredibly sensitive to antidepressants, and they don't. I get every side effect you could have.
Yeah, no.
And so I just said, fuck it, I'm not doing this
anymore. I didn't like it. I called them. I said, can I just quit taking this? And they said, yeah, it's okay. And I stopped it dead. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, not myself. I was in an altered state for like 3 weeks.
You are. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm not.
That's bad for you.
You know what? I take a little bit of this before I go to bed.
A little Jameson,
yeah. And I'm good. I'm good.
If you can get by without it and you'd have voices in your head saying, run people over and jump off buildings.
What do you have?
It's not that extreme.
I have the list of antidepressants, and it starts in the A's, of course.
Well, you know what? We were just talking about Klonopin because when I was growing up, and this is how... So this is my tie with Don Stuck. Don Stuck... was my Uncle John's best friend since...
I was 5 or 6 years old.
Five
I met your dad
old.
First, and we used to ride bikes around and stuff, but he's older than I am, and then I met John, his younger brother, through your dad. And I would still count John as my best friend, although we don't speak anymore.
You don't speak anymore,
No one will ever be my best friend like him, and
maybe
I wish we still were.
Maybe that will be our next healing podcast.
I don't think we're there legally yet.
I don't think it can happen yet.
It can on my part. I hate it. You know, my mom died, my dad died, I got divorced, John's gone. I got nothing. All I do is masturbate and talk on the radio now. It's just
me
terrible.
Too.
Well, thank God we got microphones.
Here's
the thing. And wet naps.
Somebody say something quick.
That's how I met Don, and I've known Don my entire life. Yeah. And so when we hear the word Klonopin, we associate it with my Uncle John because he is bipolar manic and has been since he was 16 years old. And I can honestly say that Don was probably there the moment that it happened.
I was. He had He had his first manic episode
at your house.
15 at my house.
Yeah.
And it was an odd occurrence. Something was going on.
Something you probably can't even explain today.
I can't. I really can't. There's some things that happen in life that you can't explain.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking clearly, you can't explain it, but you don't go over the deep end on it. Our phone started ringing off the wall, and we'd answer it. Nobody was there. And then some things were hitting the back of the house. We'd go out there, and there's nothing there, but we're finding bricks and things. And this, there was a pressure cooker going on. You could just feel the pressure in the house, and it sent him over the edge. And I swear to God, something happened. I was not, you know, stoned. I did a lot of acid and stuff then, but I was clean and clear. And
at that moment,
and something was going on that you can't explain. And it sent John over the edge. And I think your grandfather came and picked him up. He went home, but within 24 to 36 hours, he was in what was called Gallahue at the time. They checked him in, and he was there for a couple of weeks, and he's never been the same since.
No, they drugged him to an extreme while he was there. Yeah, to an extreme while he was there.
John is too big and strong to have those type of mental problems. He can tear a door off a wall or flip a car.
His physical strength is frightening, probably.
It's amazing, so yeah.
Yeah, but so he's been treated with Klonopin for his mental illness for years. For years he's been treated with it. So my daughter is an epileptic, and they said, hey, all these medicines have stopped working. We're going to give her Klonopin. And I went,
whoa.
Oh, no, you're not.
How old is she?
She's 10.
Yeah, that's no.
No, so this is, so actually they use Klonopin.
However,
Klonopin is actually an emergency medication to bring you down when you are in an epileptic episode.
Oh,
wow. Okay?
So that's a thing. But
maybe a quarter dose is just keep your base level up.
And that's you're right. Mm. 0.25 is what she takes, but she has to take it every 4 hours for 3 days.
I'm not
to
a doctor, but I've done a lot of backstage
examinations. So that's what she does.
Why can't you prescribe? You sound like you know. I should be able
quarter
to.
Dose,
you should.
Half a dose.
You should. That's all funny that you know. So yeah, so when she takes that, but here's the funny thing. Klonopin is supposed to bring you down, and with Addie's illness, Addie's disease, Addie's condition, Klonopin, whatever the side effect is, Addie has the opposite. So instead, Klonopin hypes her up. It stops her seizures, but it makes her most alert, to the point that she goes, when do I get another one of those?
Yeah, I want one of those.
She's 10, and she's going, when do I get another one of those?
It affects people different. Science is not an exact science.
No, to say the least.
Yeah.
And when your child has been on over 15 different anticonvulsants, you'll learn a lot.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts.
Well, let's go over the antidepressants. You're on. What are you on? Lexapro?
Lexapro.
Okay,
Lexapro?
I'm going to go down the whole list here, and they're not.
Is Lexapro the only one you've been on, and it's been successful?
That's it.
That's good.
You are incredibly lucky, because I'm not on anything now, but since 19. Well, let me think. It was wife number two, I started Prozac, so that would have been when my mother got mugged in the White Castle parking lot. That should be the name of a movie, shouldn't it?
Yeah, 1992?
Featuring Ashton.
I think so, 91 or 92, when I took Prozac. You can laugh, Gunner. It's okay that my mother got mugged in White Castle parking lot.
That's all right. You know, that's just terrible, isn't it?
Your mom did retire from White Castle.
White Castle, and actually,
very good to their employees.
She went into a coma, and it was up to me and my granddaughter.
No, your daughter.
My daughter, her granddaughter. Whether or not to pull the plug.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's hard.
We pulled it like we're starting a mower.
Boom.
My point is.
Well, you don't know what's in the will. You got to get to the will and see what's in here.
Well, it turns out not much. Anyway, my point is, so I started on Prozac then, and I think at that point, I didn't know it was because my mother had
passed,
gotten mugged or was sick.
But your mom
whatever.
Didn't die until
07.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it was 07. Anyway, so I went on Prozac, and that worked for a while. Let's read these that I recognize. I was on Celexa. I was on Cymbalta.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Effexor. Lexapro. There's Lexapro.
That's five.
That's
now.
Five.
Prozac.
I was on Paxil. Paxil's horrible as far as your penis goes.
I've heard that.
It's present. But you never get your ticket to the big game.
You get on the train.
You get on the train.
You never arrive.
You never arrive at your destination.
Well, you're the hit of the party, but there's no satisfaction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The broads love it.
Yeah.
But you, Sarah,
if you have an erection for lasting 4 hours.
Seroquel, I did that. Wellbutrin was horrible. I remember being on Wellbutrin for like a week.
Is that eight?
We're up to eight.
And then Zoloft. I was on all those.
Does the same doctor prescribe that, or is it a different guy?
I don't know if I was an anomaly or what, but it,
but weren't you on Topamax? We talked about this too, because
I was on. Is Topamax on? I don't know what Topamax is. But
Addie is currently on Topamax every day.
Let me look up Topamax.
And Topamax is the one where you can't taste carbonation and you can't taste sweet. And I remember him being on that and saying
side effects include death.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's nuts. Every single medication she's been on has been. She could develop suicidal thoughts.
Why was I on Topamax? It's a migraine medication. Well, I had migraines. That's true.
Yeah, but after nine, don't they just go, here, chick, fucking take it. Just whatever you want.
Once you hit double digits,
really, it was the weirdest thing. I stopped drinking Diet Pepsi because it tasted just like syrup. There was
carbonation.
It all tasted flat.
That is
flat.
A side effect. She has it now. She drinks green tea all the time.
So what would beer taste like?
It was just like
he never drinks
flat
beer.
Flat
yeah.
beer.
Oh, yeah. God.
I don't
know. Oh,
yeah, like you're not depressed
terrible.
Enough. But I can't get off. My beer's flat.
Well, no. And you know
what? Come on.
Well, but I got more wrapped up in, and I'm still fascinated by, in human beings, there's something that goes on in the brain that you can turn off carbonation.
Yeah.
That's fucking fascinating
to
me.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I'm thinking about it now.
So, you know, just a second ago, we were talking about, like I said, you know, I still think of Gunner in his mid-30s and in an airing of grievances. I remember when, you know, the first person to call us out was Gunner. Gunner was the first person to know that Chick and I were hanging out and called us out.
I don't remember this.
We were in the hallway, the main hallway after the renovation here, and you said something about, I mean...
Does the grief that you cause have no end?
No, you did.
I'm glad I didn't have to say that. Thank you, Don.
Sure, so you're the one on attack now, Don.
You see why I wanted to be here.
What did
I want
say?
To stick it all doing.
I've got a title for the episode. The Dave Gunner Roast. Or just the Gunner Roast.
Go the lovebirds, or was it...
No, it wasn't that sweet.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, it was, you know, I mean... Okay, let's
go ahead and say buddies.
Yeah. Yes. The philanderers.
Something of that nature, I'm sure. But I remember, being so young and being absolutely horrified and going, oh my God. And so who naturally do I tell first but Chick?
I think that's what buried you.
Yeah. that may have been.
So that started the bad blood.
That just fueled the
were
bad
you
blood.
Alone when I said this?
Yeah.
You were just walking?
Yeah, it was just you and I, and you were like, you going to Chick? And I was like,
I said that?
See
really?
You later. No. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And
that could have been the mid-30s Gunner.
That's right. What I'm saying. That's what it was. We were all in a completely different place.
You see how much more mellow we get?
Yes.
The older we become.
I know.
Hey,
I know it.
People think Gunner's a ball buster Southside Chicago guy, and I do too. Loud mouth. I wear hearing aids, and he's the only person I can have a conversation with without my hearing aids. I'm serious. He's the only guy on this earth that I can talk to without my hearing aids because he speaks at a volume where we would normally be yelling.
Volume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But... He's one of the most caring people. He's got a big heart. He's he's a family man. Cares about everybody thinks I'm the nice guy. I'm horrible. He's a good guy in the team. He really is. Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you a very funny story about the hearing because I thought I was losing hearing in my right ear.
Well, because you've been doing this for how long?
Right, forever, in concerts and everything. So I was like, I know I'm losing some hearing. So I went and I got my hearing tested about 2 months ago. My wife has always said, she goes, you know, you are so loud. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, the volume, I know you've lost some hearing. I went and I got my hearing checked and they go, there ain't nothing wrong with your hearing.
You're just a big loudmouth from Chicago.
That's it. And so I sat down with the doctor and I go, are you serious? They go, no, you lost a little bit of your high end. Mm-hmm. That's it. He said, you have no idea how often. And I sit across the table from someone and I see the look that's on your face. And I said, so I'm from Chicago. I'm kind of a loud guy. He goes, that's your story. You're just a loudmouth, mm-hmm. and that's the way it is. So my wife was like,
"That's
damn.
Your story
damn.
To your wife."
Yeah, yeah.
The doctor's saying you're just not listening to her ever. Is what
well,
he's saying.
He also mentioned the fact. I said, "My wife says that I have a hearing problem," and then he did mention the fact that maybe you're just not listening to her mm-hmm. after 23 years of marriage.
After 23 mm-hmm. years of marriage, some things in the brain kick in, like we were talking about, Chick. How amazing the brain is that you're able to somehow EQ her out.
Oh my gosh, we call it selective hearing. My yeah, father sure. went and he said, I've lost, you know, my dad worked in the field for years and in the weather and years of untreated ear infections and things like that. And so this guy comes back with a hearing aid and we are a big Italian family, very loud. And he just takes his hearing aid out.
Yeah.
And he's fine. He just looks at all of us, shakes her head. He can't fucking hear a thing we're saying.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times he said he's lost his hearing aid.
Wait a minute. Chick's got backup of the vodka? How many bottles? Do you have a whole case over there?
My face some. Is on the bottle. Yeah.
Look at this. Look. Come here. Let me show. Oh. Have you guys seen this? Look at that beautiful. Look how beautiful he is. Isn't he handsome?
No, it's a good picture.
That's a great picture.
This is the chick that lifts the room.
This is the chick that lifts the room.
That's the only chick that's left. The other chick is gone away.
And so that's not dangerous for the show and for what you do for a living. In
you know
general.
What? You bring up an interesting point.
Because I contend that this kind of work, you know, we think, you know, a lot of people on the outside think we're babied. You know, I was talking about how they run news anchors used to be from 5 to 7, and now they run them all morning. And mm-hmm. and friends of mine go, well, all they do is sit there and talk. It's not that. You're in a cocoon. Mm-hmm. You do well, get isolated, and you feel like you're alone,
absolutely.
Although 100 people know who you are in every room you go in. There's something to it.
And there's something there about having to mentally be on for 4 hours yeah. continuously. That's nuts.
There's a balance.
That's nuts. You guys know. You've done morning radio. You know exactly what that's
there's
like.
There's something about doing that for 4 hours and concentrating. That. What did I tell you? Like, what did I fucking tell you?
you tell me a lot
much.
Of things.
More vodka, Chick.
Vintage. Vintage Chick McGee.
More
what
vodka.
Did I fucking tell you? The brain takes up 2% of the body, but burns at 20% of the calories yeah. or something like that. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. after being on the air for 4 hours, your brain is
Can
mocked.
I say what you
and
said to me
exhausted.
This morning?
What?
What you called and said to me this morning? It's not bad. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Go ahead. I don't care.
I said, hello? And he goes, hey. And I was like, hey, how are you? And he goes, just wanted to hear a voice I liked. I said, I'm here.
That's not and, coming and, through on the air at all.
And then he went, hold on, Jess. Good morning. How's it going? It's the Bob and Tom Show.
Say as much as you could say. I got 20 seconds.
No, it's very hard. It's like a marriage.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's a difficult marriage. There's been mm-hmm. some divorces over the last few months along the way. That's
well, Christy,
pressure
I
on,
just, we
were
talked
everyone.
About this. Yeah, we just talked about this. Christy said on her podcast, leaving the Bob and Tom Show is the worst divorce she's had. It's the worst divorce she's had. And it's the longest marriage she's had. So of course it would be. Of course it would be hard on her. I saw you guys went to lunch with her. She tweeted, she put on Instagram, you guys went to lunch.
Yes. We did. We had a good lunch with her. She, you know,
and she's been
doing
your podcast,
well.
Right?
Hey, that was a year ago.
I know, it was a long time ago, but yeah. People could still listen.
But you know, people who really love radio, and I think that includes all of us in the room.
Absolutely.
It's a tough, draining business because most of us are people pleasers. You mm-hmm. don't want people to dislike you, and that's what makes Twitter so hard. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it makes the job harder because mm-hmm. you hear the dissenters mm-hmm. more than you hear the people who approve.
Because
my
10
feedback's
years ago,
100% positive. I don't
know. Oh, it is.
It usually is. Yeah.
Congratulations, John. I don't
but
find
but there
that
was
surprising
a
at all.
And honestly, in radio, there would be the occasional call, like during your on-air shift where people would call, I fucking hate you. Like, get off here. I mean, right? Occasionally? Or did that even happen?
We didn't have a lot of those
no,
when you,
didn't.
And I were working together at the X.
But
no.
Now there's social media, and now what is it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you have it. Well, telephone tough guys. You know,
right.
Big badass on the phone.
Right.
You know, would never say it to your face.
Same people on social media.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Same
it's
thing.
Terrible. I was told, seriously, on one of our iTunes
Let's not.
I'm
get
sorry,
into
I gotta
that.
Say because
oh, yeah,
it's funny.
That.
It's funny. And I'm not gonna discount their opinion because it was it's creative, it's funny. Jess is a comedy vacuum. That's good. I appreciate it.
That's funny.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I'll take
you've been
it.
Titled with something. I got titled as the common denominator of failure. I started on X103 in 1996.
You killed every radio partner you've ever had.
1996. Oh, I'm with Wank and Wild. Wild goes away. I'm with Wank and O'Brien. They go away. I'm with Gonzo. He goes away. I'm with Gunner. He goes away. These people are all fired.
They've been firing the wrong person.
Teflon
and they
Don.
Kept me.
Teflon Don.
That's
Teflon
how he got
Don.
The nickname.
Yeah, that's how he got the nickname.
Who was the blonde guy who was on all the shows?
He was on Married with Children.
Ted McGinley.
You're the Ted McGinley.
All right.
You are.
That's what
you're
I was
like
trying to think of.
The shows are starting to, and then they cancel them as
and
soon
they bring
as
Ted
comes
McGinley.
On board.
Yeah.
Married with Children, he married the neighbor across the street. Show was canceled.
Ted McGinley.
Yeah. I'm here to ruin your show.
didn't we have a drop to that regard
I think
at one
so,
point?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good.
I'm here
good.
To ruin your show. I'm here to jump the tank for you or the shark and all
oh
that.
Oh, my gosh. So what's going on? You guys have a podcast now, right?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Sort
we
of?
We haven't been doing it. We have two different shows that are on the radio, and so the podcast kind of got left behind, but we love doing it. I don't know. This is great because I don't know why we don't do it anymore other than just time.
Other than time.
Yeah. Other than time. So I listen. No, there's a... So my favorite show to listen to of theirs, I don't know how many you guys have. I know you guys have one on Saturday evenings, Deep Cuts.
On Q95.
But I listen to Flagrant Foul.
That's our
That's
sports show.
My favorite one.
Well, honestly, we've been dying to have Chick come on, but we hadn't settled all this stuff yet, and so...
Now we can do it.
Well, yeah, we'll talk some Redskins when we get around football time.
Yeah. Didn't you leave the Redskins? I thought you were...
No.
Got a divorce?
You know,
anybody who's a real... No, I
you were mad for a minute?
I enjoy the Colts, and I want them to do well, and I think they're fine. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I've got help me here. One,
what are we
two,
doing?
Three, counting my tattoos. One, two, three,
you just got
four,
two
five,
more.
Six. Six. Five of my six tattoos are Redskins related,
ooh.
So I can't really.
If we're doing football tattoos, then I'm gonna have to get a Bears tattoo.
You get a Bears tattoo.
I have to get a Bears tattoo.
Yeah, I do not have a Bears tattoo.
You're
yet.
A huge Bears fan.
I know. Now, see, that's something you can do. I don't have any tattoos because I don't know what I want on my body for the rest of my life.
I know.
Everything changes.
I know.
Everybody goes, get a microphone or a guitar, and it's like you know. So I just don't know what it would be.
I know. I can't even. Yeah. I have an issue with commitment anyway, but.
Yeah.
No,
I was going to get a Wayman Tisdale tattoo, but I didn't do that.
Really? Wayman Tisdale?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Ashley Tisdale.
Wayman Tisdale.
Oh, okay.
Old Pacer player who was terrible.
Right.
Oh, okay.
All the old Disney stars.
Yeah,
he gets tattoos of all the old
Wayman
Disney stars.
Pre or post nose job?
Right.
That's the question.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, it's good. We do the sports show on, what is it, Fox Sports 97.5, WNDE, Saturdays from 10 to 11. And, we have a blast with it. We talk sports. We talk guy stuff. You
10,
know.
10 to 11 at night or in the morning?
In the morning.
Okay.
It used to be earlier than that because I was able to listen, like, kid-free and just listen to you guys.
It was on at 8 o'clock because we were, you know, somewhat preempted by the Fat Guys Hardware show. So
there's a little cash grab going on by this particular radio station. And the Two Fat Guys Hardware show is on at 9 o'clock, and it couldn't be moved for legal reasons.
Because Car Talk retired? Is that what happened?
They talk about grilling and things.
If you want to know everything about the Big Green Egg, that's your show.
There you go.
I wanted one of those great big green
eggs. You haven't had one yet?
We haven't. I want to buy one, too. Are we going to get one?
Well,
maybe
we
should talk about the big green egg on this podcast and get one.
They'll probably endorse you, without a doubt.
I'm glad you brought it up, Jessica, because how many times have we talked about, God, it would be great to have Chick on this show.
Good.
You know, probably 10 times.
Yeah.
But it was, you know.
Now we can.
We would have to do it while Gunner was on vacation. It was me by myself. And now we can look into this a little further.
Chick, Stuck, and Gunner. I think it sounds
beautiful.
Do you have
Stuck, Chicken, Gunner?
Oh.
Oh,
Stuck,
that
Chicken, Stuck, Gunner?
Chicken, Stuck.
We used to have a guy named John Rump working here, and Tom was coming up with all kinds of Bender, Rump, and Gunner, Stuck and Rump.
Stuck and Rump.
Do you know Marty Bender? Marty Bender.
I'm serious. There's a little place in my. He was
How
just
is
in
he?
Town.
Is he good?
He's good.
He's really good. Yeah.
He's still got kids at Butler, right? Isn't one of his daughters? I think
one
is
at least. Yeah.
One, yes.
One of them's there. Do you know what he wanted to call our show when we started at X103 in 2005?
No. This is one of the times that we said no. We just wanted
to
Marty Bender.
Seriously, Marty looked at us and he goes, "You guys should be Don and Dave."
Are you serious?
We broadcast from Talbot Street every morning.
Don and Dave.
Don and Dave.
That's true. Yeah.
It's like, wasn't there a Reebok something and Dave? Remember
oh,
that?
It was during
Dan,
the Olympics.
It was Dan and Dan Dave.
Dan and Dave. Dan yeah.
And
yeah.
Dave. Oh, my God. Yeah. No, that's right. That's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we
I
opted
that.
For Stuck and Gunner, which
I
seemed
agree.
To have a little more pop to it. And,
another great piece of advice from Don Stuck when I was coming up. Whatever Marty says, do. Whatever Marty says, do. And when you go in there, just listen to what he has to say. You don't have to say anything. Yeah. Just listen to what
it
he
was,
says. If he likes you, if he gives you advice, you're
money. It was Marty's mm-hmm. idea. I come in because when Patrick went to North Carolina, it was Marty's idea to bring me in and mm-hmm. do sports or whatever.
Man, a great,
or whatever it is I do.
Great Marty story. You left to go to San Diego, and I was last to know, doing overnights and whatever. And I find out about it. Somebody tells me in the hallway, and I run into Marty's office, and I go, Chick's leaving? And he's, Marty will give you this stare, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through your soul. Mm-hmm. He's just letting him say anything.
Yeah.
And he looks up, and he's writing, and he looks up at me eye to eye, and I go, Chick's leaving? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, he's the biggest part of the show. He's the best thing there is. I mean, that's the whole show. And he goes, yeah, thanks. Yeah, like I don't got enough fucking shit on my desk right now trying to figure this out. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go back to my overnight shift now. Shut the hell up.
Thanks a lot, Don.
Yeah, it was funny.
You know, I'll go way back to the first time I ever got a reaction from Chick on anything. We used to have the 5 to 6 hour on uh-huh. Q95, and Christy Lee would sit in there and she would do some news and sports.
Sure.
So when she couldn't make it on occasion when I was doing the overnights, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did sports in the America's Cup was going on, the yacht race that Ted Turner became famous for. This is a yacht race.
Right.
And so I, of course, went on about it, and I said, yeah, and the America's Cup is going on, a yacht race.
Well,
I said,
that's when that yacht race, though, captivated America.
It was a big deal. It was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right.
There's no question about it. But my quote was, I said, as soon as they put cannons on the boats, let me know and I'll tune in.
That's good.
Great line.
That's good.
Great line.
Chick walked in. He opened the door. Great line. That was great.
Yep.
Isn't that so weird how things progress? Because Chick has the same story about Jay Baker. Jay Baker, but
oh,
it was
I've got
the
a bunch
opposite.
Of Jay Baker stories.
We'll be friends. I think the opposite was your situation. But just like when someone opens that door and says either good or bad.
Like I have tried to do with this episode of the Off the Air podcast with Gunner, Bury the Hatchet. We're buddies again, as you can tell.
Yes.
And
go. Don't let hate go. Don't let hate go. Don't let go of
it's
it.
It's beautiful.
When I interviewed to be here on, throw that Chick's vodka back. That a baby.
Gunner just killed an eighth of a fifth while we were sitting here.
That was good.
Oh, shit. That's a common denominator. An eighth of a fifth. That's eight times the 40th. So that's half of no. I was driving over for my interview.
You better hold on to that keepsake.
Thank you.
I was driving through here on my way to St. Louis when I worked in Dayton, Ohio, and I saw the billboard of Bob and Tom wearing the tutus and the flipper feet and the tuxedo jackets. And I said, wow, that looks like a really great place to work. So I, at the time, how you got jobs in radio, you sent your tapes out to show people how you sounded, if that's a sentence.
It's by demo tape.
And so I sent my tape in, and boy, I was really excited to get a call back from Indianapolis, and it was Kent Jones on the AM station. And
WNDE.
So I was driving. So it was anything from where, how it is when you have a job where I worked and anybody calls you from Indianapolis, I'm going to go. So
it's a big deal.
I'm driving in listening to Q95 because I remember the billboard and Jay Baker is doing middays. And that motherfucker, great love. You could tell he loved the music. He had a great voice, just kind of that smart-ass attitude. It was just beautiful.
Jay's the best man in middays. You were great, too.
Album
Jay was
rock,
so great.
Album rock. It was great. So I do my interview with Kent Jones, who, by the way, I might not ever repeat this publicly again, but Kent Jones's voice is the one I used for Mr. Obvious.
That's never been said. I have never heard that before.
Are you serious?
That's great.
He talked exactly like this.
Oh, my God.
Do you guys remember him?
I don't.
No?
That was before
me. Okay.
And when we were talking about doing a Mr. Obvious character, I wanted to do two things. Do something that was interesting and weird and kind of but something that would not strain my voice to do.
Right.
And Kent's was perfect.
Does Dean know that?
Yeah,
does even Dean know that?
Dean knows that. So I talked to Kent. I'm walking down the hallway and I go, oh my God, there's Q and Jay's still on the air. So I walk in and I you know, the mic light's not on, so I pop open the door and I go, oh, hey man, I just interviewed for a job on the AM and you just like sound incredible and it's just a pleasure to meet you, and we shake hands and he's like, oh well, thanks a lot, I appreciate that, blah blah blah.
Get so, the fuck out of my studio.
Hang on, that's coming. So, so like 3 to 5 months pass, and I get afternoons on Windy 1260 WNDE
that's
Classic
right.
Hits. Here's Jan and Dean.
There you go.
So,
Captain and Tennille.
Jay's wrapping up, and I start at 2 to 6, so I run down the hallway to check in with my good buddy Jay Baker that I met when on my job interview, and I open the door, and I go, hey, Jay, I got the job done. Listen, don't you ever fucking open that door. When I'm on the fucking air, I will fucking kick your fucking ass.
Yeah, that's right.
And I go, shut the door and walk right back down. Because remember where the AM, was at the in the this part of the building,
yeah.
But it was at
yes.
one end of the hallway, and the FM was like in the middle of the hallway.
The control yes. board was on the WNDE and picnic table.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And I walked back down to the AM, and I sat there, and I thought, what the fuck did I do wrong?
Yeah.
And, but, you know, a couple of weeks passed, and I
But
realized,
everybody, that happens, right?
That happens.
That happens.
It happens exactly with Jay.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that right. everybody has that.
I've got a text from him right now. It says, they just, hey, don't forget, if you need anything, call me. I'm here to help. Call me day or night. And it's like, you've called Jay anytime, day or night. What the fuck? What the hell? No, I told you never to call me before or after 11.
No, but if you want to check the OTA archives, I think Jay was on,
we were, Jay yeah, we
was
had
on
Jay.
One of the episodes.
But I think being in this building, like, there's going to come a time where you are, someone raises you up at your height, but there's also going to come a time when someone fucking kicks you in the teeth.
Well, it's
like that's
it's
a part
life,
of
you know?
It. Yeah. And I think that's in any profession, but you, when you're in this building or in this field, you're going to remember both. You're going to remember both of those situations.
Without a doubt. But, you know, this building has mellowed a lot, too. I mean, all those,
absolutely.
Like
don't you
really?
Think it's a bummer, though? Yeah.
It
like,
was,
let's
it
be
was
honest.
Rough in the 80s. It was tough. The 80s and 90s. I mean.
Sure. But do you remember it at its height? Do you remember Miller time? Do you remember Chris Wheat? Everybody
yeah.
had a refrigerator. Like, I was kind of on the tail end of that.
The three of our promotions directors left here and went directly to rehab.
Is that true?
Pretty much.
But I feel like you have to have an alcohol problem to be hired as a promotions person. Like, that was a part of it,
tough,
right?
Man.
It was in the day.
You have to balance the line of being friendly with the clients, but not too friendly to get fired. It's a mess.
Yeah, the first promotion director I had when I worked here was lame.
I don't
let
think
me,
she
let me
was
tell
a part
you
That was Dan Boobs. You guys remember
I'm
Dan Boobs?
I'm going to tell you this.
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a certain promotions director that used to work here that can kiss my fucking ass. Okay.
I think I know the one you're talking about.
Which one?
You got, which one?
Yeah, oh, yes. The one you married.
What?
Now I have to go back and edit.
No, you don't.
Or maybe not.
There was the promotion director when I became an intern here from Butler in 1989 was Jody Stumpy.
And she was as far as I'm concerned, the best
She was wonderful. So, and I was one of her favorites. I'd come along, and we had a completely platonic relationship.
But people assumed otherwise.
But I was a very decent-looking 21-year-old man. She was a very good-looking...
Jody, is that what you're gonna do?
Yeah, off the fuck, Jody, are you?
She was a very good-looking 30-odd-year-old woman, and I like short women. So, anyways, we go to the Christmas party at Crackers Comedy Club in Broad Ripple.
What's it?
Oh, I have heard this story.
Jody, what's going on? Jody was having a bad time with something, so I walked her out to her car. Mm-hmm. Literally, just walked her out to her car.
You're a great guy for doing
she
that.
She wanted to talk. I've told my wife this story. She wanted to talk.
No, I know this story.
So I love these stories where the guys go, "I told my wife this story."
Yeah.
So she said, she asked me to get in her car. Mm-hmm. Well, I got in the car, and then she drove around back towards the door behind the Vogue.
No
so
means no, Jody.
We're sitting
no
there.
Means no.
We're sitting there with the headlights on. And I said something to the effect of, "I hope this all works out for you."
And then I gave her a kiss. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I look up, the headlights are forward, and Bob is standing in the headlights going, yeah! Thumbs up! Go get her! Way to go, buddy! Yep. And I'm like, no, it was a pack.
It was a pack,
not a pecker.
A pack.
Well, yeah.
But you know those, yeah.
It was a wild place.
Yeah, the things that I saw, I don't think I can talk about the things that I saw.
So when I started here, Ace Cosby was still doing nights, and I was doing nights and weekends, and there was strippers and Colts cheerleaders and everything else going on here at 3 in the morning. It was great.
It was great.
It was like
overnights were awesome.
That's a whole different ballgame.
It was awesome.
The station, a rock station in the early 90s, was still hip to Purdue and IU.
Hell yeah, it was.
Because we were still playing new music. Now, it's a classic rock station. Kids still love it. But you'd get people calling you up. So this guy calls up one night in the overnight. You probably went through this. Hey, man, I need some Journey tickets, whatever like that. I go, is that your girlfriend in the background? Yeah, that's your girlfriend. And I said, why don't you ever come down here and blow me and you can have some tickets to Journey.
Now we're back to Jay Baker.
Jay Baker create this?
I had learned this from Jay.
Let me tell you something, though. This is what our country was founded on.
Right.
You're exactly yeah, Gunner, right.
Blowjobs and Journey tickets.
Gunner had a service. Right. This guy wanted that service.
Sure.
You are more than welcome to charge a fee.
So the next day, the girl did not come.
Son of a bitch!
Well, because you came too early.
Whose office do I get called into? Marty.
Marty?
Marty goes, could you come into my office?
And Marty was the program director at the time?
Marty, very respected, nationally acclaimed program director.
Right.
And I'm just starting in radio. And he goes, I got a call. Did you ask some girl to suck your dick for Journey tickets?
Oh, my God. I'm surprised Marty even said that out loud.
And I said, yes. And he said, don't ever do that again.
Mm-hmm. I was going to stop you.
Marty
can I guess what Marty would say?
And don't do that again.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was it.
I think that's the worst that Marty would say, probably. Don't do that again.
Yeah, I called Marty once when I made a mistake on the air when I was doing nights. I had a pal in the studio, and I said, hold on a second, I got to do the weather.
Sure.
All right, hey, Q95, the weather tomorrow is going to be fantastic. In fact, tell your boss you're taking half a fucking day off because it's so beautiful.
And it was
This is at like 8:30 because we're in the studio talking.
Right. Slipped out.
And my pal goes, you just said fuck on the radio. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. I called Marty right away because I wanted to get ahead of it. And I go, Marty, I did this break. I wanted you to know. I said, hey, you should take half a fucking day off because it's going to be so nice tomorrow. Silence. And Marty goes, God damn it, Dave. You told everybody to take a half day off of work.
Oh, that's beautiful.
All your street cred's gone.
That's beautiful.
The whole day.
That's Marty.
That was, and I said, Marty, I said, you're the best. Mm-hmm. I said, dude, thank you.
All right, I'll share my Marty saved my ass story. I was at a car show at the Fairgrounds Coliseum. It was like one of those, come on down, we're making deals, and all the dealers are there. Everybody
there's a lot going
there.
On.
And this is when I was still unhooking bras. You guys remember this?
Yes, it's a great skill.
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with this. I can unhook a bra.
With one hand?
Oh, yeah.
One-handed.
And I'm right-handed, but I'm better with my left.
Oh.
So,
are we going to try?
Want
to prove it?
I can't. I don't know what kind of bra you're wearing. I haven't checked it out yet.
Is it one of those five claspers?
Okay.
No. Here we go.
We can do this on the. Okay. Wait a minute.
Hold on. Oh, and it's done.
What?
It's over.
Already?
It's over. It's
what?
Over. It's over. Hey,
that, no kidding
yeah,
there.
It's just that fast.
All right. Ready?
Wow.
I can't.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. There's proof.
That's a talent. That is a talent.
That's the Fonzie talent.
Can you put it back together?
Well, that takes a little more.
That's no fun.
I got it.
Putting the bra back on is just like, the concert's over. You know, it's Christmas Day at 9:30 at night.
So I've been doing this forever, and I don't know where I learned it. It's like.
I don't know where I learned it. Motherfucker, you know exactly where you learned it, and you can probably tell the moment.
on those mall dolls.
Over at the Timeout Lounge. I'm at this car show, and this... looking back, it was a woman. So she.
So I hear you can blah 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 all this.
So
yeah,
I uh, I'm there to sign or whatever pictures. And I go, well, yeah, I can absolutely. So she walks over. I bet you can't do it. So I, just quick as I did Jess's just now.
Pow.
Undid Jess's, bang. And she goes, oh, my God. Walks away. About 15 minutes later, she comes back with her lawyer.
Are you serious?
Honestly, I don't know if you know this story.
I don't know this story.
She comes back with her lawyer, and he goes, you think this is funny? You think this what you've done to my client is funny? I mean, right out of the box, client. God.
I don't want to bring anything else into this, but I know what voice that is.
So anyway, I go, you know, I apologize. And it was just... the two of us, when she asked me to undo her bra, but, you know, it's...
Are you serious? What year was this? Yeah, what year was this?
I'm going to say 90, 91, 92, maybe 92. And so, I don't know if you know this, but Jess knows this. I don't have any coping skills. Well, they're little baby ones is what they are.
Zero.
I've seen some of them in the break room.
I'm freaking the fuck out. So I call Marty, and I go, here's what's happened. And Marty goes, get out of there. And I go, Marty, I've got 45 minutes to do. He goes, get out of there. Get in your car and drive your house. Leave.
I didn't get my $100 yet.
Leave right now. I go, I didn't get paid. Leave. So I left, and sure enough, that Monday, this attorney, and on behalf of his client, called the radio station, blah, 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 this and that. And it finally, this was 92, obviously.
Fizzles
so
out.
This is, yeah, like 18 years ago or whatever.
Oh, my God, 92, no. 24
years. Yeah. Hang on just a second. I'll do the math again.
Get a drink. But anyway.
What'd you say what year this was?
It was in the early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know who else I think was in that negotiation? Jim Kendall, because I think it was Kendall's account.
I bet it was.
He told me this story.
Is this familiar?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this story?
Oh, very true. Kendall told me this story maybe about 2 months ago because we were talking about.
Time out. Kendall's still around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got an office in the back.
You know,
that motherfucker will always have an office.
Kendall was the last one I did the classic chick to. And I don't know why, and I don't know.
It probably rolled right off that motherfucker's back.
It must have been after a Wednesday meeting or whatever. Because, because Kendall,
those goddamn
chick, how's it going? And I went,
No. You guys know it was like this.
Just walk by and.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, yeah, Kendall.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Yep.
Hey, buddy.
Yep.
Hey, buddy. And he barely looks at you, but he is one of the sweetest
people
that's ever been in this building.
Let me tell you this. He was all United States, at least all state in baseball.
Was he really?
Unbelievable baseball player, Jim Kendall.
Really?
I did not know that.
What was his position? I mean, he wasn't a home run hitter.
I want to say shortstop.
I got a really strange question because, we know the waves of salespeople that come through here.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that our favorite group, there's a group. Whatever happened to Doc?
Danny O'Connor.
Where is he? Is he up the street?
I think he works at ZPL is what I heard.
Is he? I think you're right.
I would like to say that he's my all-time favorite.
Love him.
Anybody else?
Well, I have to say I love Curtis Williams.
Curtis
is my all-time favorite. Because if Curtis tells you that I'm going to give you a hat and that color hat is blue and it's going to be at Tuesday at 3 o'clock.
That's what's going to fucking happen.
It happens.
Yeah. And it is rare to find a salesperson who is honest and follows through.
Yep.
And I don't mean that, but it's absolutely true, especially in the radio business, because if you do something 4 weeks ago, fingers crossed that you're going to get paid at some point, right?
Oversell it, underdeliver.
Yeah.
That's how it rolls.
That's how they roll.
Have you seen all the motivational signs that we've put up on that side of the building?
Can I tell you?
Embrace failure.
I have not been on the other side of this door, I bet you, in 2 years.
You should go over there because we have a new corporate structure, a new regional structure. So we are now Kentuckiana instead of Indiana, Ohio.
Really?
So we're going north-south instead of east-west, right?
Okay. So now we have good education and can open Coke bottles with our teeth.
So The
Hello, everyone.
Well, there's that.
How are you?
We do love Kentucky, right? We used to tell a story. There was an actual news story.
It's
you guys
where all the great
it.
Strip clubs are. If you're going to Cincinnati, yeah. So just go to Kentucky.
You probably
is that true?
Fur Absolutely. Burgers.
Absolutely.
There's not a place called Fur Burgers. Shut
there
up.
Should be.
There should be.
Do
right
you
now.
Know there's an actual Kentucky Bureau of Investigation?
The KBI.
There's an actual KBI in
yes.
Kentucky.
Stop
and Don,
it.
what's their sole purpose?
The KBI is there to keep books from flooding in over these borders. We got to keep these books out of Kentucky.
That is true.
That's right. Our apology to all of our Kentucky.
That's all right.
Listeners.
We love Kentucky, but we have a lot of Hoosier fans, Purdue fans that mm-hmm. listen to us.
That's
yeah.
a problem.
Okay.
But so we have all these motivational signs now, and it's funny because we all love Curtis, but Curtis has been single his whole life. Right.
Well, I think
he's
we
been
know
engaged
his la-
once.
Yes, yes, and we know who that is.
And we know who it is. But over his cubicle,
yes.
they put the sign, always be experimenting.
Okay, after this podcast, we're going back there and we're taking a picture.
That did not happen.
That's beautiful.
I mean,
it's
that
above
is not
his
happening.
Cubicle. Yeah, no. and that's so mean to put over a guy's space who's 62 and single. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's
just, you know what, though? You know, if you're 62 Curtis, and single, you're pulling it down somewhere.
I'll bet his house is a mess. I'll bet the litter box
you
is
are
full.
So fucking full of shit.
His
you
house is a disaster. Laundry's everywhere.
No, he's probably the most extreme version of a minimalist you've ever seen.
His desk has not a pen on it, not
no.
a paperclip.
No.
He likes it that way. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. I know that.
No.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. He is top notch. Who's your favorite salesperson to ever come through? Probably Curtis.
Curtis.
Yeah.
I would say Curtis.
Yeah, Curtis. Curtis is the man.
We're not going to play our least favorite salesperson, are we?
No, I don't think there's any need to.
No, we don't need to.
Boy, no,
the list
of
is so
not.
Long.
I don't think any of them are here
well,
right
I think
now
the,
anyway.
The list is everyone
Maybe one.
Else.
Two?
Two?
Yeah.
Everyone else is on the list.
Curtis and then everyone else.
And then everyone else. Absolutely.
Well, I feel good about today's
podcast. You feel good about today?
Podcast. Do you guys feel good about today's podcast?
Well, I feel very good. I felt bad that this has been out there so long.
He has. He's felt it was really not like this.
I really have. I've talked to Don
yep.
about it.
Felt bad.
I meant it as a joke with no meanness behind it. I really thought it was just kind of a joke. And I will tell you this. My wife told me years ago after a party at Bob's, but I did not remember this until she mentioned it earlier. She was talking to your then wife, Kathy. And Kathy had said to her...
I don't think there's any need to
curse
on our show.
There's the edit.
This could be the edit, but she said to Lisa, hey, you know, chick's getting rubbed a little bit the wrong way with all of this death stuff. Well, she told me at the party that night, and I don't remember because I had been drinking so much.
Oh, really?
No, seriously.
Guy with the empty vodka bottle sitting right next to you while you're broadcasting.
Hey, but that's a chick's vodka bottle.
It is a chick's vodka bottle. So my wife just recently said, I told you like 10 years ago this was bothering chick. I go, when? She goes, at Bob's. I go, nothing you tell
no,
me.
Nobody remembers anything at Bob's.
No.
Nothing.
In
nobody.
Your defense, that's absolutely the truth.
But in your defense also, there were a lot of seeds planted. So maybe chick wasn't mad, but someone had decided that chick should be mad.
There's no devious characters in this building that would put one person against another for their own gain, is there?
Never.
Thank
here.
You, Don.
Never.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
That's beautiful.
Not in the building
that's
anymore,
beautiful.
Anyway.
Yeah,
well, but right. I feel good. I'm glad we got it out.
I've been making him nervous. I said, this is not a, we're not bringing the walls down. We're not letting go of hate. This is a hit. You're not being made. This is
no.
a hit.
No. No.
Yeah.
no. You know what?
This is the attack zone.
If I've learned anything in radio since I've been here, and I've never been on the radio here, that not getting along makes good radio.
It does.
Right?
Gunner and I have spent one day that wasn't work-related away from this building since 1980.
And it was awful.
It was terrible. We went to a Colts game.
We did. We went to a Colts game.
He rode in my truck.
It
was
worse.
Awful all the way there. It was the most uncomfortable
That's
thing
so
ever.
Strange.
No, but on conversely, if we're in a studio like this, a production studio,
it
a recording
works.
Studio, or on the air, I can talk to Gunner for hours on end.
Yeah.
Effortlessly. And there's five people on this planet that fall into that category.
Right.
But away from here, I don't know.
Right.
It does not work.
Yeah. That's
we
true.
We have nothing in common. He's got, what's your grade point average? He was, you know,
I had a 3/4 academic scholarship to Butler.
Yeah.
I was 4.25 coming out of high school, and that couldn't get me a full ride to Butler. It only got me 3/4.
Are
He's
you
got
serious?
That, and I have a GED.
I did not know that.
I quit high school when I was 16 to
Butler's,
play guitar and bass.
Butler's a great school.
Go Dragons.
It yeah. is.
No, that's
you can't afford to send a kid there, but yeah. that's a whole nother show.
Gosh. Hey, go Bulldogs.
He lives on the north side. I like monster trucks.
Go New Pal.
All right. Stuck and Gunner, 97.5 Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So, and the next step is that you're going to be a guest.
11.
You're going to be a guest there.
Yeah. Yes. Let's try to
Flagrant
make it after
Flow.
Next Saturday because I'm going to sleep in tomorrow.
He's not going to be a guest.
Absolutely.
He's going to be part of the show. We need you in here at 8.
Oh, there.
Every Saturday.
What? 8? 8.
What is this?
Oh. Yeah, no. You know what? We're experimenting. So you go. And you do. And you see.
Yeah.
And then Deep Cut Saturday nights on Q95, which is a lot of fun from 7 to midnight.
Maybe I could do that one.
Jessica,
can I try that one?
You could do that. It's,
can I try that one?
It's a good
that would be great for you. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
You know my favorite story about us.
Facetious or not.
I know. I can't
I've talked to you about.
Hey, can you guys babysit her? That's what that sounded like.
No. Here's... between us, we've never said anything about the difference in our ages, but one thing did happen one
Wait,
time.
Wait, time out. We're not the same age?
Well,
mentally, we're the same
mentally,
age.
Mentally, I'm trying to catch up with you. My point is, we're in the car one afternoon, and I'm not sure where we are, and Dream On by Aerosmith starts playing.
Okay, don't make fun of me.
And we're singing, and she's enjoying the song, and she goes, hey, who is this? And I go,
wow.
I know.
It's Aerosmith, Dream On. And it's like, I don't know, but it's like their first hit.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
In
my defense,
70.
In my defense, I was a sophomore in high school when Armageddon came out.
She wasn't a sophomore in high school when she was in my car asking me a question.
Hey, baby, throw your bicycle in the back of my truck and let's blow this place.
I go, no, it's Aerosmith. And she goes, Aerosmith. And she's got that.
Who's he?
Adorable little nose thing she does.
Yeah.
And I go, she goes, love in an elevator, Aerosmith?
Oh, yeah.
And I go,
yep.
Well, yeah. And she goes, wow, if I was an Aerosmith fan now, I'd be pissed. This is a good song.
True.
That happens.
Well, let's. Jess and I will come back and wrap up, but we're going to take a break. And okay.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for having us.
This was awesome.
Thank you, Gunner.
This could not have gone
better. Love you, chick.
Love you more, buddy.
Aww.
Don?
I'm happy. I love everybody.
As always.
I don't like the hate going away. I like to keep the wall up. Donald Trump will still build the wall.
Let's create another wall. Don and I will work on creating another wall.
We can make somebody mad at somebody.
Let's piss somebody off.
Okay.
This is the Off the Air Podcast. We'll be right back.
I got a heart. It don't work so good. 'Cause it don't feel the way that I think that it should. It pumps and pounds and gets on down. Anytime you come around. Just underwear. You made me wonder what love might be. Well, I was blind. Now I see. Baby, baby, let me in. I need me some of your can see God on a cloud in the sky, on top of the world, watching the world roll by, with a great big grin and some good cocaine, Jesus by his side in the pouring rain. 'Cause I can believe in the in between, what can't be said and only seen. When you close your eyes and open your heart, and everything you know just falls apart. God in Italian shoes, with a beard and a gun and a case of the blues, smoking a cigarette and drinking Coors Light, tea so white that the light of the night. Now I can believe in the in between, what can't be said and only seen. Too much time on his hands, too much stuff in his head, hanging out, doing whatever comes round, hanging out and getting down. 'Cause I can believe in the in between, what can't be said and only seen.
Beautiful bed, beautiful clothes.
clouds inside my head. Sing a little song. National TV. That's a long time not to drink or eat or take a pee. Oh, let's be back around to get to the other side in this big beautiful world. Sleep in a big beautiful bed. Beautiful clouds inside my head. And I wanna pick a back ride to get to the other side of this big beautiful world. Sleep in a big beautiful bed. Beautiful clouds inside my head. Sing a little song.
Say that is my friend, Bob Schneider, bobschneider.com.
I thought you were going to say that's my friend, Gunner.
And that's my friend, Gunner. No, I'm proud to say that, too. He's as is often the case with many misunderstandings in an adult life, no, there was no malice. There was no forethought. There was no premeditation. It just was
it just happened.
A bunch of circumstances.
But you know,
spiraled out of control.
You know what I thought of when he was talking about that? About that was his go-to joke because, like you said, 50% of the people left.
Right.
Right?
Fuckers.
When you're at a show and you got the guy about three-fourths of the way back in the theater goes, Tom's an ass bag. What do you do? What's your response?
No, he's not. He's my friend.
You're a liar. Take two. What's your response?
Yeah, what you said.
You think so?
Well, no, I mean, but Tom and I had that discussion that what you said.
Oh, yeah.
Agreeing with each other's boring.
No, that doesn't make good radio.
No. So Tom and I decided to disagree.
Because I
couldn't disagree with Bob. And
I bet Gunner took that advice and did the same thing and kept telling the same joke because 50% of the people left.
You're right.
I don't know. I don't have a joke that I go to for that. I don't have that.
You don't need a joke.
I don't need a joke? Mm-mm. No, I got boobs. Who needs a joke? No?
No, I wanted to say that any personal growth that I might have accomplished in the past 10 years, specifically the past 4 years, at first was forced upon me and was for my own good. And I did it because I had to. And now I'm doing it because I want to. And at first, it started because of you. And I wanted to thank you for that. Because I sit here and I think I'm a better person.
I'm more open. I'm more everything because of you.
For the record, I'm the only one in the studio right now.
That's exactly right. It's just us.
Well, you know what? You do what you love.
Right.
And I am a firm believer that growth happens every day.
Sure.
And if you're fortunate enough to grow on your own, good for you.
But some of us can't grow on our own. Some of us need to have a kick in the pants.
Some of us need a cheerleader.
And you gave me that kick in the pants when I didn't know it was a kick in the pants. I thought it was a kick in the teeth. And it was anything but.
But you know what? You also showed me, because for many, many years, I thought, what is my gift? What is my point in life? What am I here to do? And you showed me that I'm very good at being a support system, that I'm a really good cheerleader. And for a long time, I thought, what kind of job is that? You know, and even the kids in the background here said, you're like the team mom.
And you are.
And you know what?
You know who else is the team mom?
What other...
Nobody.
What other better presence to have than to know that you can walk around and help people be better or feel better or just lift people up. Let them know what their true potential is. And I'm not, and by any means, I'm not building myself up, but that you said, hey, you know what? That's okay that you don't have a front row spot, that you're the one sitting in the second row going, you can do this. This is yours. This is you.
The Greeks had a word for it. It's called a muse.
And I am so fortunate that I get to do that. I am so fortunate that...
I don't think I'm the only one. I'd like to think I'm the only one. I thought of it first, I think.
You had this first thought ever?
I think so.
Okay.
Because when I was in high school and on our football team, there was this kid, and he was not the best player, he's not the worst player, but he was really good. And he had this way of making you feel like you could be a better player.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan had it. Any great championship
that is
team
the first time I
it.
Heard that.
You are.
You said that you to me one time.
A Michael Jordan. You make everybody else better.
That's probably the best compliment someone can get.
You really do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're going to try to do more of these podcasts mm-hmm. on a more consistent basis.
Maybe but you know what? But
two or three a week. What?
You can't say a number.
Oh, I who taught? Hoffy told me that. Don't ever put a number on it.
No.
We're going to try to make them more.
More frequent. That's
more
all.
More frequent.
Volume. We're gonna do volume.
We're like anybody else. We want more listeners. We want to be more frequent. We want to get giant sponsors and.
No, it's not all that.
And
we
sell
love,
us to a giant movie company.
We love doing this.
We really do.
This last podcast that we just did with Suck and Gunner was so much fun. And the podcast yesterday was a blast. And the podcast before that, we had fun. These are only going to get better because we are truly falling into this and going, oh my gosh, we love this.
It was one of those things that was sitting right here. And
it only took almost 4 years for us to fucking realize it.
Let's not do it. What do you want to do? One? No,
I don't
let's not
feel
do it.
Like it. But you know what? The more we do, the more we love it. And we're just, let's jump into this. Both feet, naked. Let's do it.
And we're really going to find out how much you love listening to it here very soon. So stay right there. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Good night, everybody.
Let's do this. In the morning in the back of the Beamer. Now mama, what's up? I know that you're a schemer, but you can't be frightened when it comes to this. Put down your back tricks, give me a kiss. I got a castle in the Paris, got a crib in the city. I said I'd get you something nice, something pretty, and I did. And you liked it like that, to be so big and to be so fat. Because we up in the murder house, over in the club, getting crumb, bling, bling. I got some love for you. Ass moving so fast, can't think. Big buzz bounce.
house and I'm on the sink. I wish you was here, but I can't be sure. The night's all black, everything's a blur. Got my jacket on, smoking, looking like juice, honey, on the table, on the shit's all I'm saying. Ain't got no dough, all God's my body. Shoes in the garage, my socks are crew. I got my hands look back so I can check out shoes. I got some nice shit to say and it sounds so good. You-